אנחנו קוראים מתוך הספר זוהר לעם, פרשת אמור, אות רש עין ג'.
We're reading from the convention, Zohar convention booklet. The booklet can be downloaded on kab.tv, and questions may be asked there as well. Questions related to the topic of the lesson will be aired live.
זוהר לעם, פרשת אמור, אות רש עין ג', מתוך חוברת הכנס.
So we're reading from the convention booklet on page 37. The accusers revert back to loving Israel.
אות רש עין ג'. וזהו,
item 274.
דרכי איש, גם אויביו ישלים איתו.
שאפילו, we're reading from the first paragraph. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies make peace with him. This means that even all the upper slanderers become lovers of Israel once again. And when the forces above become lovers of Israel again, it is all the more so with all of them below. 274. It is not to the 70 ministers that the offering is sacrificed. Rather, it is offered and sacrificed to the Creator. And He dispenses food to all the other multitudes, to the ministers of the 70 nations, so that we'll enjoy His children's gift and we'll love them once again. So they will know above and below that there is no nation like the nation of Israel, that they are the lot and the domain of the Creator. And the Creator's glory rises appropriately above and below, and all the higher multitudes open and say, "And who is like your people, like Israel, one nation in the earth?" Well, we're all from the will to receive. That in the first place is in an opposite way from the light. And this oppositeness we have to slowly attain. And that's the path, to the extent that we attain this oppositeness, that the light shines on us and we always discover, first of all, how we're different than him, not in our feeling, not in our attainment, not in our qualities, that all in all, as it says, from who you are, your spirit is caught. In such a way, a person is then capable of then nullifying himself with his will to receive and wanting to change in order to bestow. And all of those slanderers that he discovers within himself, they're against the Creator, and by the light he requests, but he must reach a state that he requests, they become corrected . They become lovers, they become his completion. The person wants the path of the Creator, then his enemies will complete him. That the enemies, they complete the person to be in the path of the Creator and to be similar to the Creator. That without those same slanderers, without those same enemies, without the shells, there's no completion of the vessel. They're first revealed as enemies, and you must understand that this is the form. It's revealed as help against him. And by that a person is pushed to correct himself. Without these shells, we would never want to correct ourselves. And therefore, specifically if a person goes in the path of the Creator, where does he see the blessing? That the Creator is interested in his path. When these enemies awaken, his shells, his qualities which are opposite from the Creator, And then they're corrected out of a person asking for correction, and then they complete him. That's how you reach completion of the vessels, and specifically in those desires that a person discovered has shattered. To the extent he corrects them, that's where he discovers the thought of creation, the entire correction. Because we have no other means besides these shells, our corrupted desires. And all of the work is that you invert the enemies to lovers. Because the will to receive remains the same, will to receive. Only the intention from in order to receive, which is a shell. And if a person hates this form within him, then it slowly, slowly, by the light that reforms, turns into holiness, to bestowal, love of the others. And this same enemy turns into a lover, to a vessel of receiving the abundance. That's what we learn in many places. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, of reception. Because we reveal our corrupted vessels of reception, and they turn into Yashar Kel. Then in the beginning, these vessels were directed, aimed into the person, seemingly, for his own benefit. When he discovers it's all for the worse, and he finds the right approach for their usage, then they turn into lovers of Israel, Yashar Kel, meaning they help him reach love of the others. So that's called who is a hero, he who conquers his inclination, that he rises above his will to receive with faith above reason. And the hero of heroes is one who turns his enemy into his lover. And that same will to receive that was in order to receive, then he turns it into in order to bestow. That's it. Yes. A student from Washington is asking, how can we request if we feel completely unworthy? That's from the fact we feel unworthy. The fact that we feel ourselves, that we understand and know and we're in control, that's all a lie. Who are we? We're all in complete darkness. And if we would have felt our true state, we wouldn't have even been able to open ourselves, move ourselves even. But because there is darkness, then we have pride. It's like we're doing something. A person, it seems to him that he controls his life because there's concealment from the upper force. And that helps us. It helps us exist. The concealment is for our own benefit. Because without it, I would discover that I know nothing. I don't know anything. I'm not capable. And I can't do anything myself. And besides, I'm being controlled 100%. In such a way, I wouldn't be able to act, to even start acting. The fact that it's concealed from me, that I don't know this, don't understand this, I'm not capable, and it's concealed to me that I'm controlled completely in my thoughts and desires, then in this darkness, in this concealment, I imagine to myself that I do have something to do. I have my life. I'm in control of them. Of course, there are things above me, but I'm always in a state that I want to control my life, everything I go through. And when you begin to engage in the Torah and attract the light that reforms, then it begins to shine the truth on us, that we ourselves dust. We're not capable, we're not doing anything. That our corruption is also not there, but it's towards our attitude towards the others. And our entire correction is with our attitude towards the upper force that dominates us, that's in providence on us. So once a person discovers all of these conditions, where he is and where he needs to be aimed at, so accordingly, when he studies the wisdom of Kabbalah from day to day, then he attracts this force that reveals the truth to him. And from that he begins to turn correctly with a right request of what he wants. And what does he want? To reach correction. He doesn't even exactly know what correction is. And he isn't necessarily trying to exactly find out. But he wants to be corrected. And then the light influences him. And then the person becomes to be a partner of this process more and more. And the light brings the person the revelations, how he's in not for her name, how he's under his self-concerns, how he's still thinking about domination, how his pride, his ego, that's his entire life. And the upper light directs a person precisely to the thought of creation. Yes? Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, who are the person's greatest enemies in work? He himself. His qualities, which are opposite from the Creator, and they slowly are opened up to the extent a person can deal with them. Otherwise, we would have been completely paralyzed. We wouldn't be able to do any action, any inner movement, external. And therefore the concealment is opened slowly to us, to discover to us that we totally don't exist. And to the extent that I'm able to turn to the Creator, to grasp onto the Creator, then a part in me is opened up, so I'll be able to do so. That movement, that request to adhere to Him. And in the rest of my thoughts and desires, then I'm not shown how I'm controlled by Him. There I'm given a seemingly the ability to think and feel that it's me. Meaning, a person, it's slowly revealed to a person the reality that he actually does not exist in, that he's entirely as a puppet. And to the extent that he can nullify himself towards the surroundings, towards the Creator, meaning to use his freedom of choice, to that very same extent he's given independence. He's given the ability to build himself another part and another part as independent until he rises completely. What does that mean, rises completely? That is in adhesion to the Creator. His desire is contradictory, but his intention is the same. We never come out of the dominance of the upper force, but the concealment slowly, slowly disappears from us to the extent we want to adhere to Him. And then the revelation is towards us. That's the revelation. It's like a curtain that opens and closes, like the blinds. that it's in darkness, I feel that I'm independent, and only to the extent I can tolerate the fact that I'm not independent, I can tolerate this shame, this inner blow, to that very same extent, this curtain is opened up, and then I adhere to the Creator, and I'm willing to be so. Then the concealment passes. It's only the matter of my senses. The state doesn't change, only my perception, my consciousness changes. Yes? Thomas from Lithuania is asking, what can I do if I don't feel that I want correction? That will come, that's all right. Of course we don't want corrections. That's also a great revelation that he feels he doesn't want to be corrected. The main thing is just to continue, and that's it. The despair, the descents. The question is, what a person feels as these descents, that his eye disappears, but for that he should party. He should be in happiness, because it's a personal blow of his own pride that he's been harmed. I'm suffering, I don't want this, or it's the opposite. You should be happy that it's been revealed to you, like Baal Salam says. They should be happy with the evil ones that are revealed. But with us, meanwhile, it's the opposite. We don't understand the fact that I realize my nothingness. That's a great revelation from above, that I'm given an opportunity to adhere, because I have no choice. From my ego, then I search like a niche, a force of covering, adhesion to the greater one, if there's that pushes me towards adherence to the Creator. There's nothing better than that. If a person discovers that he's in this state of incapability, then that's the best day possible, that he can't do it on his own forces, that he must reach he must grasp this force, and that brings him to the Creator. Yes. Yuval from Tivon is asking, what is the toughest revelation that a person reaches before he reaches spirituality? The revelation to attain spirituality is that you slowly need to slice up your I, that it doesn't exist. That's called entrance to spirituality. It's as if it dies. You don't understand what it means, the sensation of life. Our sensation of life is that I feel myself under control. That I control myself and I control reality that's external to me. In short, my vessels, external or internal, that I control them. Entrance to spirituality is called that I die. It's a feeling of death. That I give up completely on the I, to such an extent that I'm interested in all of these self blows, in order to rise above the I. If a person loves it like a masochist, then he understands that by that he rises and he gets rid of this enemy, that these blows he doesn't identify with them, with his ego, but he wants the blows to come upon his ego. It's like Moses, who's afraid from Pharaoh, from these blows. That's already a sign of the barrier.
Yes. This ignobility, lowness, and nullification of the I, does it have a certain scale, or it happens in a specific way? Yes, of course it happens in a gradual way. It happens gradually. This is a matter of a feeling, though, so I don't know how to... In everything that we go through, until we go through four phases in everything, or, as he writes, until all the wicked become revealed, or the threshold we have to come to. But of course it happens gradually, not all at once. The more closer you come to the machsom, the greater the disturbances, burdenings. No, I wouldn't say that the greater they become, but the sharper, the more focused they become. The stingings, the blows become more as if internal. But along with it, a person becomes more experienced. He looks at himself more and more from a side, learning the Creator's work, how the Creator works on him, and to that extent becomes a partner with the Creator, and looks at himself as just a piece of, like a lab rat. This is how he looks at himself. I wanted to know what is the advice, what is the counsel. When there's a disturbance, so when you're with the group, it's easier to cope with it. But when you go out, it's all calculated. A person should simply continue his life, his regular life, and don't think that those who are always close to the... producing the Kabbalistic media or something, or doing that during their day, have some sort of a priority. No, it's completely not true. Actually, it's the opposite. It's like I'm reminding you that Rabash forbade me to come to live close to him for 2 years. And he himself also worked all his life, maybe 9 or more hours a day. Then they used to work from dawn to dusk. So anyway, it's not true. But anyone in his place should create support for himself. And precisely people who work with matter, with the material, with the media, I wouldn't say that they're in a good state. Their advancement can be, in most cases, it would have been much better if they would work in some work outside. This is how it is, because a person naturally disrespects it. He thinks he already has some sort of connection, something inside it, and it's totally not true. I'm working with people, and sometimes when you have these burdenings, it feels like it requires a much bigger mental effort from you. Yes, that effort is the benefit. And those who engage in a production of Kabbalah media is they don't have any effort. They feel like, you know, it's the same thing. They don't have these questions. If I do this or that, it's all, I forgot about it for a few hours. Or they don't have this thing. They don't have it. And these things are precisely the things you by which you grow. This isn't... But, you know, well, from above there's a calculation for each and everyone. You mentioned transcending the will to receive, and then you mentioned transcending the I. Can you explain that? Can you explain what it means? To transcend means that you're identifying with the Creator who works on your ego, and you're identifying, or you're identifying with your ego. Let's say I hurt you. You feel that I hurt you, that that there's a, you know, there's a blow, and you want to protect yourself, you want to guard yourself, you feel burning on the inside, you want to go against me, or you don't feel it as a personal hit. Rather, you feel that there is some sort of a reality called the egoistic will to receive, and you relate to it as something that needs to be corrected, and you don't care. You don't look at it as a personal blow at all. You actually identify with the one who hit you. You're even thankful for it. This is called turning from his enemy to his lover, or to his friend. And you're actually interested in the ego feeling hurt, because by that you can ask for correction. You can, that feeling of hit allows you to come out of it and move away from it. Instead of being in it and protecting it, you can actually use it and be grateful for feeling that, because it helps you detach from it. Because the hit in the ego, well, you know, the simple example is, if, let's say, if I lied to someone and I was caught for that lie, so now I can either start protecting myself, why, no, yes, it's not true, or something, or I can do the calculation that this quality is bad. I always get caught lying, so I need to stop lying. Otherwise, I'll be scorned and hit. And so I want to relinquish that quality, and I pray for the Creator to take that quality away from me. And that means, but that means that I engage in ethics. Maybe I'm saying, you know, having this quality of lying is good. It's great to have it, and it's great that it is inside of me, because now I can rise above it and cling to the Creator. And it's good if He hits me and shows me those qualities, so that I use this quality in order to rise above it, and I keep it. I transcend it and keep it. God forbid, I need to keep this quality of lying. If it doesn't stay, if He eliminates that, I won't be able to transcend it and cling to the Creator. Now that I feel that there is false within me, and the bigger it is, and the more painful it is, it's good. Because precisely by finding that quality within me, I am willing to tear myself away from that quality, but on the condition that it stays, because I won't have the need to adhere to the Creator if it doesn't stay. So then the enemy becomes a friend, meaning I start loving those worst qualities, because they help me transcend, they help me build what's called faith, meaning achieving the quality, the force of bestowal above them. I don't want the wicked to die. I want to use them. I understand why I need to be happy about something bad that is revealed in me. But once it is revealed, that's it. I don't want it anymore. What do you mean? If you don't want it anymore, then you canceled it. You can't cling to the Creator also. How can you cling to Him? How? With what force? Because you know that if not for the adhesion with the Creator, you feel there's another quality that hurts you, that pains you, so otherwise you don't need it. You know, a little child, if he feels confident, then he leaves his mother and he runs around and wanders around. The moment he's afraid, he goes back to his mommy. So you think you're different? No, it sounds very clear to me, but the moment that, let's say, something bad became revealed in me, so I cling to the upper one. Okay, that's clear. Why do I need to keep that evil thing, that bad thing? No, it doesn't stay as a bad thing. It stays as a good thing. It's a special quality the Creator reveals to you, so that on top of it, above it, you cling to Him. It's not bad anymore for you. You don't look at it as a bad thing. What I'm saying is that those curses, that anger, that falseness or power, honor, lust, all those things, doesn't matter. On top of them, you build the connection with the Creator. The more the bad things become revealed, it actually saves you. That's the only thing. This is why we talked about it when he asked, when there was a question how to cross the barrier. It is in the cancellation of the eye. These are all the things that are revealed in us. When a person is ready for that, not when he already did it. When he did it, it's already repentance from fear. And what is fear? That's another thing. It is when the entire Malchut is revealed with all its darkness. Bala Sulam writes in the writings of Bala Sulam, I am happy and delighted with the corruptions that unfold, with the evil that unfolds, and I'm sorry for the evil that hasn't unfolded yet, because what didn't become revealed is in no hope to be corrected yet. Is looking at the bad as the good, is the development of the point in the heart, is this the new point of observation that we have? If a person accepts everything that happens to him as good, but not eliminating the bad, this is what I talked about with Rui, this is a good sign, then this is a good sign. But it is impossible that there was a moment that he was disconnected from the Creator and the purpose and everything, and he had to be shocked and felt a personal hurt, and only then you awaken towards the right scrutiny. There has to be disconnection as well. This is why we are in the reality of this world. It is a reality that allows this complete disconnection for spirituality. Well, we have to go back to the Zohar. I'm sorry. All the rest